To this talk about enabling new operating systems in Uni. My name is Pau Garcia. I'm the product owner and technical project manager of SUSE Manager. I work for SUSE. And I'm joined today by Jack from Alma Linux.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah. I used to be a Debian developer, a KDE developer, and a lot more things. You can find me around online in IOC, in Gitter. And yeah, Jack, what about you?
Hey everyone, I'm Jack. I'm the community manager of Alma Linux. Some of you might know me from the Fedora community. I was at Red Hat for a long time as a community architect there, working on several open source projects and other outreach initiatives. And basically I fell in love with open source and never looked back, which is a great thing. And you can usually find me on IRC, on the Bear Chat, and also that's my email if anyone wants to get in touch, just jack@almalinux.org.
Okay, let's get started. So what is Uni? I'm going to go through a brief presentation of Uni. You may have seen these slides already in some other presentation. So Uni is a systems management solution, and it covers essentially 80% of your day-to-day needs as a systems administrator, as IT operator, when Linux is around. You get auditing, reporting, patching, installation of software, configuration management, both with Salt and Ansible. It does virtualization. Uni runs on OpenSUSE Lib, although there's a community port to CentOS in the works. It's already functional to some degree. And it supports a lot of Linux operating systems. Essentially, any enterprise Linux is supported by Uni, and even some non-enterprise Linux are supported too. The architecture of Uni is a typical client-server architecture. So here we have the Uni server, and here we have the Uni proxies, which are an optional element of the infrastructure when you have thousands or tens of thousands of clients. So typically, you can attach systems directly to the server, but when you go over 3,000-4,000 client systems, you will want to use these proxies. And that way, you can easily reach 15,000-20,000 clients per Uni server, or even more. We have cases of 30,000 clients per system. In the case that you have beyond those 25,000-30,000 systems, you can also use a multi-server architecture, what we call the hub, where you have another server, the hub server over there acting as an orchestrator between several Uni servers. The origins of Uni are in a project founded by Red Hat a long time ago called Spacewalk, but we forked, SUSE forked that project in 2018 and created Uni. So since then we have our own project, we are our own upstream. The features of Uni is what you would expect of any systems management solution. You can deploy, you can patch, you can do the service pack migration on operating systems that require this. You can do configuration management, you can do bare metal or virtual machines. You can schedule actions to be performed in the future. You don't need to sit in front of something where you want to execute that. And of course, you can also do compliance management with OpenSCAP and CVE audits. Everything in Uni is available in three ways. You can use the web UI, the API, or command line tools. So what we find is typically users will start with the web UI. As they gain knowledge, they move to the command line tools, and ultimately they write their own API scripts, potentially integrating some other tools like ServiceNow or Jira or some other CMDB, for instance. There's Uni added a lot on top of what Spacewalk provided back in the day. So there's transparent integration with Salt and Ansible. We can manage systems on any place, essentially, not only on-premise, cloud, hybrid cloud, multi-cloud. The thing about the Uni is you don't really know where your systems are. You don't really care, actually, because to you, it's all the same. They are managed systems. We have this great feature called Content Lifecycle Management. So typically, on production systems, you don't want to deploy your software directly. You want to go through these typical environments, so development, testing, and production. What Content Lifecycle Management does is it creates different software channels, and you can promote software as you typically do in any IT governance workflow. there's required actions. There's you can even build operating system and container images to make sure that the starting point for everybody, for developers or for new applications, is always what you have vetted. As I said, there's compliance, there's virtualization management, even with HA, high availability virtualization clusters with KVM or Xen. That's a feature that we are going to introduce in a few weeks. There's also monitoring. We have standardized on Prometheus and Grafana, which is the cloud native stack these days. And if you know Salt, you know that there's a very powerful feature called the formulas. We have created something called Formulas with Forms, which is like a form, a UI that you can create for those Salt formulas. And we are also working on providing that for Ansible, for the Ansible playbooks. As I said, Uni supports most of the enterprise Linux operating systems, of course, all the SUSE operating systems, all the RHEL clones, so RHEL, CentOS, Oracle Linux, Alma, and then we have some more exotic operating systems. Of course, there's Ubuntu, which is getting very popular, Debian, and then we have Amazon Linux, Alibaba Cloud Linux. We have Slee Micro, which is a new minimal operating system introduced by SUSE recently. And we will keep adding new operating systems in Uni. And this talk is exactly about that, how we added support for Alma Linux. Jack, tell us about Alma.
Hey, everybody, how are you? Okay, great. All right, so Alma Linux. Let's get the next slide, Paul, if we can.
Yep.
So that's our project. Okay, so who or what is Alma Linux? So we're an open source and forever free enterprise Linux distribution and community. We're one-to-one binary compatible with RHEL. We're a CentOS alternative as well. If anyone is looking for an alternative to CentOS, you know where to look. We're also a 501c6 nonprofit. And that's very important because that means that we're owned, governed, and driven by the community. There's no single entity that owns any of the intellectual property, any of the trademarks, any of, you know, that type of stuff. It's all, everything is owned by the nonprofit, and that's to ensure continuity. We basically want to make sure that what happened with CentOS does not happen again. And this is one of the ways of making that happen. And also, I want to say we're graciously sponsored and supported by awesome open source focused companies and organizations. All of them are listed on our site, but you know, we have the backing of places like AWS, Arm, which has been phenomenal, Equinix Metal. There's so many High Velocity. I want to mention they're our primary mirror sponsors, so I got to mention them too. cPanel. Lots of places, they're all on the site. I'm not going to bore you with all that right now. And I think one of the great things about our team is that many of us have been doing this for over a decade or more. So we're really well-seasoned when it comes to doing RHEL rebuilds. And I think that, you know, the product definitely shows that. The OS is rock solid. We were able to rebuild RHEL 8.4. In only 3 or 4 days after Red Hat actually released it, which is like, if you know anything about the history of the community, that's like amazing speed. And we wanna make that even shorter for the future, and we have plans on making that even shorter for the future. And what else? We're available now. We've actually the first release, which was 8.3, was out on March 30th. We're now on 8.4. Our ARM is in beta, and that's actually, by the time you watch this, it's probably going to be stable or very shortly stable. And we have some great features like secure boot, OpenSCAP support. We support Errata. You know, it's just really a well-seasoned, very well-developed enterprise Linux distribution. So what am I doing at a Uni talk at an OpenSUSE conference? I love this quote: "Not all those who wander are lost." For any of the Lord of the Rings Hobbit fans out there, so we're definitely didn't wander to the wrong place. That's for sure. let's get the next slide. So why are we here? Because we believe in community and collaboration. I think, you know, from the minute the project was released, we set out to start working with everyone in the community across, you know, really everywhere. And we just want to, we decided that we wanted to be a bridge and build bridges and try to bring communities together. I know there's lots of factions in different places, and you know, that's kind of the nature of open source. And I think you know, one of the things that we definitely think we can improve is like cross product, cross project collaboration. Definitely the CentOS announcement, when that happened, I don't know how many people here are really very familiar about that, but that kind of caused a lot of confusion in the community. It also caused a lot of FUD. That's not good for anyone. I think that, you know, we want to calm things down. We want to bring things back to a state of normalcy like they were before. Also, OBS is great. I think, you know, it was definitely the inspiration for how we architected our build system. And our build system, you'll hear more about that in the future if you follow the project. And then, you know, bottom line, I feel like we're all in this together. Everyone doing open source shares a common mission and a common vision. You know, certainly a rising tide lifts all boats. And OpenSUSE is definitely a big, very big part of that ecosystem, especially, you know, being another RPM-based ecosystem. There's a lot of room for working together there and a lot of room for collaboration. And like I said, you know, our philosophy and our goals is to foster cross-community collaboration across the whole ecosystem. And, you know, when we released, you know, a couple of people from the Uni team reached out and wanted to collaborate. And we kind of reached out simultaneously, I should say. And, you know, it was just very fruitful. Like, we came together, the code was written, and here we go. You know, another project supporting us, and another project that we can be a part of, and another great conference with great people that we can come and participate in. And I think that's really, you know, that's what the spirit of community is all about. And that's why we're here.
Indeed, it's true.
And okay, so really, we'd love to ask, you know, what can we do for you? You know, we'd love to help in any way possible. Anyone working on any project, you know, if you're looking for help with anything, and also if you'd like to contribute, we certainly, you know, love the community growing. It's been growing like crazy, and we welcome everybody from all over the world. It's really crazy. We have, like, in our chat, we have conversations going on, like, in English and Spanish and Turkish and Japanese. It's been amazing. So you know, definitely check us out. We have our Mattermost server. It's chat.almalinux.org. We're also on LiberaChat. I should have put that in there, but I guess I forgot. But everything is bridged. So if you come to one place, it'll show up on the other place. All of our code is up on GitHub. If you'd like to take a look, you know, at a bunch of different sub-projects, you can find them there. Definitely our website and our wiki have a lot of information as well. We have a bug tracker at bugs.almalinux.org, and also we have a pretty vibrant Reddit community. We also have our own forums, which is just forums.almalinux.org. Again, you know, feel free, just find us anywhere. You know, come by, participate. We already had a few SUSE people jump in our chats and in other places, and you know, we're totally very welcoming. We love to work with everyone. We like to hear everyone's opinions, and I think that's the best way to make sure that great open source is produced, by just listening to everybody, trying to find out what they need. And you know, people come in all the time with different opinions, and hey, you know, this should be differently. As long as it, you know, is definitely, like, has merit and is positive, we're more than happy to make those changes and to make those things a reality. So again, you know, we decided to come here because we did the integration. The integration went great. And we certainly love the community. We want to build bridges. And I'll just, if you want to show the next slide, I can sign off. You can also find us on Twitter if you guys want. And, you know, we love OpenSUSE. We love SUSE. We love the community. Some people would consider us competitors. I don't consider anyone competitors. I think we're all here to work together. And we can do great things together. And certainly, we love everyone here. And I want a special shout out to Neil Gompa because he's awesome. And he's
everywhere.
he's like a ninja. Like, you say his name, and like, you look over your shoulder, like, whoa, like, he's here. And so I want to give him a great shout out. I know he's on your guys' board. He's awesome. You guys are lucky to have him. And I just really wanted to say thank you for to really everyone that was part of this. It was really tremendous working with everyone. And we're not going to stop. We're going to keep working together. I think me and Paul like have a weekly meeting now that we get together and try to find things to work on. So again, you know, if anyone's interested, we're glad to be here. We're very humbled to be here. I want to say thank you to everybody. And my daughter wants to say thank you to everybody. She's walking down the stairs right now, even though I told her not to come. And yeah, thank you everybody. And Paul, we'll let you do some more of the dirty work.
Thank you, Zach. Okay, so now this talk is about adding new client operating systems, and I'm going to go knee-deep into that, so don't be scared by the following slides. There's a summary in the end, and there's references to pull requests. So what do you have to do when you need to add a new operating system in a Uni? The first things to consider are, is the new client operating system they want to add available on the Open Build service? And this is very important because the Uni is built on OBS. So another important thing to consider is the new client, a variation of an existing operating system that is already supported. Do I want to add the new client operating system as only with SALT? You know that in Uni, you can manage clients with the traditional stack that comes from the old Space Walk times, but also with SALT. And increasingly, we support clients and SALT only because there's a richer feature set. There are some features that are not supported at all with the traditional stack. And also an important thing, if you are going to support with SALT, which you should do, then is the client operating system known already by SALT, or do I need to enable this new operating system in SALT? So first thing, is the new client operating system in OBS? If yes, you're lucky and you're good to go. But if not, and that was the case with Alma Linux, you just need to ask the OBS admins to add it, and they will do that. For us, it took just a few days to do that. In some cases, we could have considered, for instance, with Alma Linux, to reuse the binaries from another operating system. For instance, for Alma, we could have used the CentOS client tools that we already had. But since CentOS 8 is dying, we are actually building new binaries based on Alma Linux, and that's the base for all the RHEL clones in the future in Uni. Then, for instance, for SLES, you could use the OpenSUSE lib binaries now also, since this closing, the lib gap has finished now. Now, then, next thing is this a variation of an existing client? In our case, yes. Alma Linux is a RHEL 8 clone. So all the complex stuff, which is the modules and upstreams, that special casing is already implemented. So yeah, that part, we didn't need to really delve into that. As I said, we could have built the use the CentOS 8 client tools, but in our case, we are going to phase up CentOS 8 client tools and actually adopt Alma Linux as the new base for all of these what's so-called enterprise Linux class operating systems. SALT only or SALT and traditional. So Linux is officially supported only as a SALT client, but actually we've implemented also a traditional stack support in code, just because the two of us that implemented that are not actually developers. So you can see that we didn't. It was more difficult for us to say, I will not implement a traditional stack rather than to just implement everything, because we were actually just copying code from other operating systems. And then if the new client operating system is not known by SALT, which was the case of Alma Linux, you need to add a grain. And I think a grain is rather easy. You just need to go to SALT. This is the upstream, but you need to do that in the OpenSUSE package also, which is usually faster. than salt accepting your grain. And it's rather easy. You just need to set like a code name, a string, and that's it. So it's two plates. It's really easy. And then you have to say, this Alma Linux is of the Red Hat family. And with that solved, we know what package manager to use, how to resolve conflicts, and all of that. Then you need to set up a development branch for yourself. You need to fork and clone the source code of Uni. Then you need to create a fork in OVS to actually build the packages so that when you write code, you can actually build those packages and deploy that and make sure that everything is all right, including database migrations and everything. You need, if you're adding a new client operating system, you need to fork some client tools or to start from scratch. But I would advise to just select one of the supported client tools already, and with that, start from there. There's a wiki page explaining how to set up all of this in full detail. Then what's the code that you need to touch? So this is the easy part, and this is the minimum that you need to do. There's some Python enablement, some enablement in Salt that I essentially already showed most of it. And there's an ini file, which lists the repositories of the new client operating system. If you want to add some niceties in the web UI, then you can go and implement some Java and SQL code. And this is actually like 75% of the work. So yeah, you can keep it minimal, and it's fully functional. But if you want to have all the beautiful things in the web UI, do the Java part and SQL part. So repositories, we just need to add this to this space world common channels. I have added these repositories, the GPG key, and everything. So this is for x86-64. When there's Arch64, we will also add it. That's trivial, mostly. If your repositories are protected by some token certificate or username password, then things get a bit hairy. But this was not the case with Alma Linux, so it was really easy. That's a nice thing of open source and free. Then we need to tell the client tools, what client tools to use, because the Salt package, it might not be available in on Alma Linux, as it is the case, actually. You will need to add EPEL, and we don't want you to need to add EPEL because it's a huge thing. Then Python. So Uyuni has a concept, what we call the bootstrap repository, because you can only register systems can access the repositories made available by Uyuni. But what if you are not registered yet? How do you access the minimal repository with the packages that you need in order to register? That's what we call the bootstrap repository. And there's several ways to register. You can initiate from the web UI, or you can initiate from the client side using what we call a bootstrap script. And in order to enable that bootstrap script, essentially you need to tell Uyuni, hey, this is the file that you need to look at, this Alma Linux release, match this string, and if it's that, then you will have to use those packages, that bootstrap repository. You remember that was exactly the grain that we used in the previous slide. Then you have to tell it what packages actually to provide in that bootstrap repository. And in our case, I'm telling use the same what's called the expanded support 8, which is another Rail clone, because we need the same packages for all the Rail clones. So this is also pretty trivial, and they will be stored in this place in the Uyuni server hard disk. Then I need to solve how to identify the client operating system, and it's very easy. What we are going to do is we're going to test if this file exists. If this file exists, Alma Linux release, then I'm going to say this is an Alma Linux system. Easy. As I said, there's also initiate the registration of the client from the web, from the Uni server web UI. In that case, you need to tell Uni, hey, this is the repository that you have to serve. And this is just using another grain from Salt. Rather easy, actually, because this is all implemented when you add the grain to that core grain. This OS major release will automatically appear. Then all the communication between the Uni server and the Alma Linux client is going to be encrypted and secured by an SSL certificate. So I need to tell the clients, hey, you have to trust this certificate that is described in this Red Hat 8 SLS file. Actually, we use the same SSL certificate for all the clients for all the operating systems. So, but for historical reasons, we keep saying, we keep different files describing that. We are simplifying that because it doesn't make any sense to keep it complex. Then with this, we for the basic part. So with this, that was the first part of the enablement that we did for Alma Linux. And with this, Alma Linux is fully functional as a client already. Next thing that we can do is, if I want to show in the web UI, where do these packages come from? And I want to say, hey, this RPM comes from Alma Linux. Then I have to add the GPG key to this and this provider called Alma Linux. And then we get into the 30 files of Java that you need to touch. Now, this part is only for convenience, really. If you want to be able to use checkboxes in the Uni server, in the web UI, to enable monitoring, container building, OS building, and in the case of SUSE Manager, which is the downstream of Uni supported, fully supported by SUSE, if you want to show the product name instead of just an unknown product string in the system details, you need to do this Java enablement. What you need to do, everything that you need to add to the Java part is provided by this call. Salt call dash local grains.items, you run this on an Alma Linux box, and then you will get all the values, which are the OS grain, the OS full name, and OS family grain. With that, you're done, because Alma Linux is matched internally in Uni by the RHEL 8 matching code. So we just need to do some special casing in some places, but that's about it. I'm going to go very quickly about this. So we will define this server string, this constant, to be able to match the grains. Then here's the special casing that I said earlier. I want to be able to tell Alma Linux, and in this same line, I'm telling also Amazon Linux from RHEL, because otherwise the Alma Linux systems and Amazon Linux will get the RHEL 8 repositories. Another thing I'm going to say, okay, match the OS grain provided by Salt. If it's Alma Linux, then I have to do this, which is running some remote commands. More testing against the OS grain in different places for Alma Linux. Even more testing of this Alma Linux release file. And here I am connecting essentially the Java part with the SOAP part. This detect plain RHEL part, what it does is this goes to the code that connects the SOAP bus, the ZRNQ bus, with the Java part that comes in the Uni server. Even more really Alma Linux release file. You can see that this is spread across a lot of places. And here is the final place where we actually say, I'm passing this parameter, which is the content of the Alma release file, Alma Linux release file, and that's going to be what the all the previous code that was checking for the Alma Linux release will get. Of course, if there's no Alma Linux release file, because this is, I don't know, SLES or BZ Linux or McAfee Linux, whatever, this will be empty, and that's why this is optional code. We keep connecting the thing, so this is the contents. We are reading the contents of this Alma Linux, and that's about it. So in summary, you need to edit like 10 files, Python and Salt, and that's the easy part. And then in order to get the nice part in the web UI, you need to touch in 30 additional files, which is a bit cumbersome, and we really want to simplify this. So, but even though it's 40 files that you need to touch for a RHEL clone or a Debian clone or a SLES or OpenSUSE clone, it took us like 3 days by two non-developers. There was Julio working with me. Julio is our SUSE manager and Uni release engineer. If you attend the Uni community hours last Friday of the month, you know him because he's quite often there. And myself, I'm the product owner. I have not coded for years. I'm actually product manager, kind of product guy. So it took us 3 days in the SUSE Hack Week back in February to implement this. And my question to you is, what's the next operating system that you are going to enable? Because I have this code that has tons of clones of RHEL, tons of clones of Debian, like Linux Mint, VZ Linux, McAfee Linux. Rocket Linux is already in the world by the community, so just keep adding.
Wow. You guys are officially developers now, by the way.
I guess yes. So at SUSE, everybody codes, even directors, VPs, everybody codes. We love to code. And as I said, Uyuni is the upstream project for SUSE Manager. If you need a supported Uyuni, call SUSE. If not, Uyuni is committee supported. We have a monthly meeting every last Friday of the month. We run on OpenSUSE Leap. There's an unfinished port to CentOS. You can also help with that. We release almost every, and we are a rolling release model. So when there's a bug, we are not going to fix it in the current release. We're going to tell you, just move to the next release. The differences between SUSE Manager and Uyuni are minimal. Essentially, you have to use a command line tool instead of a UI wizard. And in Uyuni, we enable all the translations, which are many, by default. And in SUSE Manager, we only enable the translations that have been reviewed by official translators. And that's about it. So you can join us at uniproject.org or Gitter or Twitter or also in this chat and, of course, GitHub. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.